Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan, Matt, it's been a hectic week of GAA and it has no signs of slowing down either with the amount of action that's coming up this weekend. But I suppose, Matt, we will go back to last weekend and the final group round of the Limerick Senior Hurling Championship threw up some surprises, but we know exactly where we stand now with the groups. Napiershig and Doon are through to semi-finals. Kilmallock will take on a quarter-final meeting with, I think it's Maru Boher, is it? And
that's right, yeah.
And Patrick's Well in the other quarter-final will take on South Liberties. So it's all there. It's all laid out. It's all very, very clear as to... I suppose what needs to be done and who needs to play who. But just going back to the final group games, Adair and Ballybrown with a 3-17 apiece draw, an absolute shootout out in Childers Road, and Adair's that point for Adair just doing enough to preserve their Group 1 senior status for next year.
Yeah, I suppose you have to say at the outset, Raphael, that full credit to the board and the fixtures committee, because here we were, Limerick were involved all the way up to an All-Ireland final. There was a backlog of fixtures which comes with the territory when you go that far, and they sat down immediately afterwards, put a new plan in place, put a new schedule in place, and are sticking to it. And have the championships narrowed down. And I'm not going to be faced into a situation like Waterford and other counties have been in the past, where All-Ireland involvement has resulted in them missing on the Munster Championship deadlines. Now, the schedule is tight for Limerick. It has to be, because there are so many games to be played, but it is very, very doable, and the picture is becoming clear, as you've said, and it's very, very clear now in the Senior Hurling Championship. We're down to six contenders. I suppose you would have to say last weekend, Raphael, that the results last weekend more or less went according to scripture, with the exception, of course, of that upset of Doon beating Kilmallock, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But to address your exact question, it was a shootout in Childers Road, high scoring, 3-17 apiece. It was, for all practical purposes, a relegation final. A de facto relegation final. To me, and I was at the game, I didn't think that kind of tension, intensity was in the game to suggest, like, if you walked in off the street, you wouldn't have detected that the stakes were so high in it. It was entertaining, certainly. No doubt at all about that. I suppose Ballybrown looked the more likely in the first half. They banged in three goals in the first half, but they looked and they appeared to be taking a two-goal lead with them in at half-time. But right just before half-time, they conceded the penalty. John Fitzgibbon clinically dispatched the penalty, and suddenly it was a 3 points game after halftime. They leveled soon after halftime. Willie Griffin hit over three frees, 1-2-3, and then it looked that the pendulum was swinging towards Adair. It was that type of game, and then Adair took the lead, and coming right up to the finish, It looked as if it was a dare, especially when Charlie McCarthy got that third goal. And as the game went into injury time, they led by a goal, and you would put your shirt on the dare at that stage that they would see it out, but they didn't. Ballybrown, they got back on level terms. They got back to hardware. Mikey Kiley sent over a point. Killian Gavin sent over 2 points to tie it up at 3-17 apiece. And obviously, Ballybrown will be disappointed to be dropping down to Group 2 for next year. But it may not be the end of the world for Ballybrown, because certainly they have a number of young players coming through. They were a bit beset by injuries this year. If they go away and regroup, there is no doubt at all about it, but that they can be a very, very strong and influential force in Group 2 next year. Now, Adair are in a similar situation in that they have a number of young players coming through as well, and of course they have a core of players that are very experienced and will be around for quite a while. And I'm talking about Declan Hannan, Jody Hannan, and the like of Willie Griffin and those and who will help to bring the young players along, but. Probably in the it may not be as easy for them to come along in the highly competitive environments of Group One, but there's certainly an amount of talent in Adair, and they will probably go away. They have a county cup now to navigate. They will go away and reassess the thing and refocus. And look, Adair are not very far away from being a force in Limerick hurling again. And I heard in the week like that Adair are gone down because of football. I don't think anything could be further from the truth, because the crossover between hurling and football in Adair is minimal, as you know, Raphael.
It sure is, Matt, and like you mentioned there with the case of Ballybrown dropping down to the second tier of the Senior Championship for next year, nothing wrong with that either, in that, you know, you're dropping down, and especially if you have a young team, you're dropping down into a section of the competition where you will probably get more competitive games. And, you know, for a young team, you don't want to be sending them out to be taking heavy defeats. You want them to go out there and to learn through wins and through competitive hurling if you can. And, you know, I think that's... you know, that's not just because they've dropped down. There's an opportunity there.
There is an opportunity, and there were great games in Group 2 this year. And as you flagged just there, now they were all practically without exception highly, highly competitive, and we saw it going down to the last day, like where mathematically at least. There were four clubs that could have picked up the two quarter-final spots. Now, the division for a finish went according to script. Now, South Liberties were probably a shade lucky, and talking to connections of South Liberties on Sunday evening, that they agreed that they were a shade lucky to get the better of Capamore, who threw everything at them to save their status. Now, Maru Bore got the win that we expected they would. They flew out of the traps and built up a very very big lead early on. But Knockaney, typically Knockaney, clawed their way back and made it difficult for them in the finish. And I suppose going into a quarter final. That won't be a bad thing for Maru. There was a challenge put up to them certainly in the second half. They responded to it, and they're going through to play Kilmallock. And they're going through to play Kilmallock, you would have to say, in a good place, because they're going through on the back of four straight wins. They lost one game this year and in the group stages, and that was the first round. They lost it to South Liberties by a point. Now, it's costly in so far as that South Liberties have now been promoted to Group 1 on the head-to-head. But other than that, you would have to say that Maru Bohor are going into the quarterfinals. They're going in there in a good place, and I know we'll be talking about it in a week's time. They're going there in a good place, and they did the job. They did the job and got a bit of a test. The same can be said of South Liberties. They got a serious test, I'm told, from Capamore, but they responded to it and they saw it out, and that will certainly put them too in a good place, because the teams from Group 2, they'll be going in on the back of decent runs, 4 wins out of 5, and they'll be going in against Patrick's Well, who have lost the last 2 games, each by 10 points, and they'll be going in against Kilmallock, who were beaten by Doon. So, you know, it's all to play for, and you would have to say that, in my view, and talking to quite a few people around, because I was at quite a few games over the weekend, that the new structure, Raphael, is an unqualified success.
Yeah, and I think I spoke with Seamus Hickey during the week about the GPA report in conjunction with the ESRI, and we also mentioned the new championship structure, and he was saying that as a team, Maru Bohor, with young players, that it really, really has worked well for them. And you have to look at it too. If somebody had given you the quarterfinal matchups at the start of the year, you would have said, oh, Kilmallock and Patrick's Well, definitely, no question, will come through these games. But this format and teams coming in from Group 2 with momentum, coming up against sides who might have just dropped off their standards a bit in Group 1, it throws up a whole lot of permutations. And, you know, this is really going to be the acid test of the new system.
It's going to be the acid test of it, but, like, there's a challenge put down now already to Patrick's Well and Kilmallock. They're coming off. They're coming into the quarterfinals on the back of poor results. Now it may not always pan out like that, but certainly the teams that are going to be coming out of Group 2, like Raphael, you wanted to go back 12 months and contrast the kind of discussion we were having 12 months ago in the aftermath of the fifth round with the conversation that we're having today, and you can see the graphic difference, the graphic improvements in the structure and what we have seen. Definitely Group 2 has been very, very exciting, and it had clubs playing at their own level. Clubs that would only probably dream about winning matches hoped. They'd look at the start of the year and they'd say, look, we might get a win there and that might save our skins. That's gone now. Clubs are going in with realistic chances of winning hurling matches. And that's what it's all about. It makes it competitive. Now, at the start of the year, 9 people out of 10, maybe 99 out of 100, would have said that a hand were going to come through, and that a hand were going to top the group, a hand were going to get promoted, a hand were going to go through to the quarterfinals. It didn't happen. But they finished 4th in the group. That will give you an idea of the new lease of life with the new structure that promoted Maru Bohor, that Mona Lean, that South Liberties. They actually revelled in the new system, and consequently they improved, and now they're getting an opportunity that they could have only dreamt of playing in a quarter final.
Yeah, Matt, that Mona Lean 115 a hand 17. That was the only other game. That was the final game in Group 2. I suppose no good to either team, really, with the way things panned out. A hand definitely needed it was a long shot for a hand anyway, but that was just the final nail in the coffin for their hopes for the year. Going back to I suppose just to mention as well that Capamore make the drop down to Premier Intermediate next year from Group 1. Not a good year, but look, they'll go in if they can replicate what Maru Bohor did for this season, then they'll be doing well. But that's dropping down to Premier Intermediate. It's, I suppose, you can't afford to feel sorry for yourself when you make that drop down, because Premier Intermediate is an extremely tough competition to come out of.
Yeah, and, but you need only look at the example of Maru Bohr. The way they dropped down and the way they used the Premier Intermediate to rebuild and come back up and come back a much better side. Now, Brough went down last year, and they really have taken to the Premier Intermediate again. They're top of the standings as we speak, and they're safely in into the quarterfinals with a game to spare, and they are using it too. And you must remember, it's a Brough team that has been, for the most part, except the first two games, without the services of Paul Brown, which gives you an idea of Brough's achievement, and are very, very much in the mix now to have a big say in the destination of Premier Intermediate honours. And now Cappamore will come down there. The one thing for the Cappamore club, I suppose, which will be disappointing, it is the second relegation in 12 months. Their intermediate footballers were relegated last year from intermediate back down to junior, but I see they're into the quarterfinal. They're playing the quarterfinal this weekend against Hospital Helberstown in a sort of a local derby in Kiltealy. They're trying to bounce back, but a relegation in a club sometimes has a very adverse effect, and but this is a second relegation, but it's far from the end of the world, I suppose. They went out with their heads held high. They lost their last two games by a point. It wasn't as if they weren't competitive. They lost to Kenny in the penultimate round by a point, and now have lost to South Liberties, who you must remember have topped the group. They lost to them by a point. So there was, you know, it was fine margins that sent down Cappamore.
Matt, speaking of the final two group games, I suppose, in Group 1, the doubleheader that we covered last weekend, Patrick's Well 111, the Piercy 121, Doon 17, Kilmallock 10 points. I'll go back to the first game. Patrick's Well never really hit the ground running, did they, in this one? And the Piercy, you know, 10 points, you know, they were easily worth their 10 points win. And I just, you know, Patrick's Well need to kind of regroup and do it quickly.
Yeah, they have little time to do so. They've just got a 2-week window to repair, which where there was some very obvious deficiencies in their play on Sunday last. But you would have to say that in the Piercy, they went up a notch from the previous couple of games in the championship. But still there's a sense there that they haven't come anywhere near what their full potential is yet, and are probably timing their run for the concluding stages of the championship. they were from the time that Peter Casey got the goal in the first or second minute, there was very little doubt as to where the points were going in this one. They kept ahead. Now Patrick's Well made a few rallies, mini rallies, you might say, but at no stage, you would say, during the game, did they look like really clawing it back and overtaking the Piercy. Certainly, Gary Kirby has quite, and his backroom team have quite a bit of work to do now to pick up against what you'd have, you know, what you would expect is something of a banana skin going in against a team like South Liberties. South Liberties would come into the game with nothing to lose. They have a couple of very exceptionally good players, like, you know, they have the Barry Nashes and the Brian Rines of this world who can score for fun. They will throw the kitchen sink at them. They will know after heavy defeats to Kilmallock and Patrick's Well that the level of confidence in Patrick's Well mightn't be what it should be. But certainly It was a disappointing result for Patrick's Well, coming so soon after shifting a 10-point defeat to Kilmallock. And the real worry from a Patrick's Well point of view was it was not, and I think we all agreed on this, Raphael, that it was an Apeirsic side that hasn't come near top gear yet.
Yeah, certainly I would agree with you there, Matt. Doon and Kilmallock in the other game. Kilmallock had been kind of motoring along quite nicely up until this point, but Doon put the brakes on that, and a superb performance from Doon.
Superb performance by Doon. Of course, going into the game, they knew what they had to do. It was a straight fight out for a semi-final because Patrick's Well had lost, and Apeirsic had gone on to 9 points. So Doon knew if they won, they would join Kilmallock on 7 points and on the head-to-head. But it was a game in which Doon came out fire. You know, there was fire in their bellies right from the start. They took the game to Kilmallock, didn't allow Kilmallock settle into any kind of pattern at all. And you must remember, and we cannot lose sight of this, that this result for Doon was achieved without a player of the calibre of Darragh O'Donovan, which really puts the Doon performance into context. But you saw it, and we discussed it, Raphael, during the course of the coverage last weekend. When it came to leaders on Sunday last, Doon were not short in that regard, and the performance of Richie English at fullback and captain, you would have to say, was memorable. The men that you would look to lead, they led from the front and they put on the performance. But I suppose it's maybe in many ways it's unfair to single out a Doon player, but Richie English had a particularly powerful game, and the same could go. You could say the same for Pat Ryan, caused quite an awful lot of trouble up in the full forward line, and Barry Murphy. I'm just focusing in on the county players briefly. Barry Murphy, like, hit 9 points. He was unerring, and he was flawless in punishing Kilmallock indiscretions, which the Doon forwards very, very cleverly caused the Kilmallock defence all sorts of problems, dragged them out of shape through the fouls, and Barry Murphy clinically punished every one of them. But it was a very, very strong performance by Doon. It was a very workmanlike. They had good intensity. They had good work rate. It will do their confidence a power of good, because we've been saying for quite a while, when is the Doon breakthrough going to come, or why hasn't it come? I think they made a bit of a statement last Sunday.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there, Matt. I just excuse me. I just thought that that they managed the game very well, and physically they put up a huge challenge to Kilmallock. I just thought they ticked all the boxes, and they will be a handful and will cause problems for anybody in the competition.
Yeah, and getting back again now to individuals, maybe like the performance of Josh Ryan at midfield, it was a very, 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 very strong performance on his part. And then you had experienced guys like Denny Maloney and all these. They all stood up to the plate. And really what I liked about them, they went 5 points clear at one stage in the second half. Kilmallock reeled in 4 quick points to draw it back to the minimum. Doon didn't panic. Doon drove on. I think they hit the last 5 or 6 points. Kilmallock didn't score in the last 12 minutes, which must be a worry to John Ruther and his backroom team. And what must really be a worry is the fact that over the course of an hour, and this hasn't happened to Kilmallock for a very, very long time, they only registered 10 points. Now, that was a poor return, and I thought Kilmallock, your players like Graham Mulcahy and Oisin O'Reilly, and you have them in the full forward line. They're players that can hurt any team, and Graham Mulcahy was distinctly unlucky that he didn't get a goal, that one that whizzed across the goal. But they're only as good as the supply they're getting, and I thought they got a very limited supply last week, and I thought Kilmallock were dilly-dallying a bit around in the fence, playing the ball short, trying to play it out of the fence, instead of getting rid of it and getting it up to the men that could hurt the opposition. John Bruther, like Gary Kirby, would have a lot of thinking and a lot of work and a lot of refocusing to do before they face Mauro Bohr, and it'll be very, very interesting. And you would have to say that Kilmallock have to recapture the type of form that they showed in the earlier rounds if they're to seriously make a challenge for the championship.
Yeah, they certainly will, Matt. Matt, there was some big action in the ladies' football championships last weekend.
Yeah, there was. There was. All the three ladies' football finals were played. It was all an all-West affair in Mount Collins on Friday evening when Old Mill got the better of Father Casey's. And then we had a very exciting doubleheader in Croke on Saturday, played in front of a very, very big crowd, I thought, and some very, very good football. The senior final, Monaghan, what did they do? They really tore up the script. Ballylanders were going for four in a row. Right from the start, you would have to say that Monaghan threw down the gauntlet. A free from Katrina Davis after about 5 minutes found its way into the roof of the Ballylanders net. And from then on, Monaghan really, really drove on. Now, they led by two goals at halftime. They could have led by four because they had hit the crossbar twice and they had hit an upright in what was a barnstorming first half against the champions. Ballylanders showed brief signs of revival immediately after halftime. Christy Carroll hit the post, and Andrea Sullivan got a quick point all within a minute of the restart. But the challenge really, really faded out after that. And when Leanne Brown got the third goal for Monaghan, it was just only a question of seeing out the game. It was their first title since 2014 and their second title ever. And I think on the day, Ballylanders can have very, very few complaints. All right, they were well below their best. Never got into any kind of a pattern or rhythm that we have been accustomed to for the last 3 years, which has seen them go through the championship unbeaten since 2014. Was the last time they tasted championship defeat, and but they really can have very, very few complaints. They got to go away and regroup. They still have a very, very strong panel, as we saw with the four girls that were part of the Limerick panel and what have you. But no complaints at all, I would say. The better team on the day won, and it's full credit to Monaghan. Now, there was a very exciting intermediate final between experienced Atay side, who were contesting the final for the third year in a row, and they were taking on Nakeni, who were in their first final. Now, Atay looked the better side in the first half, and led by 4 points and looked to be taking that with him in at half time, but conceded the penalty on the stroke of half time, and Ciara Hines dispatched it, and so they took in a point lead. But when they came out of the second half, it was Nocaney that took the game to him, and got in front and looked to be staying in front and were in front as the game were 2 points in front as the game ticked into the hour, and Noel Curtin got a very well taken goal in the 61st minute, and it looked to be game, set and match. But there was quite a bit of stoppage time. And Nocaney, to their credit, and I suppose it's a character of all teams that wear the black jersey of Nocaney, they fought back. And in the 66th minute, Isabel O'Rourke steered the ball in from the right flank, right across the goalkeeper and into the corner of the net. It was a dramatic way to win a first county, but a lovely way to win a first county. And now they move on, and they're back in action again on this Friday evening. They're playing in the Munster Championship. They're playing Erne's Own from Waterford in Nuin at 8 o'clock on this Friday evening. But overall, you would have to say a fantastic couple of weeks for ladies football. You had the lead in to the All-Ireland final. You had the successful breakfast morning. You had the very successful negotiation of the All-Ireland final. And now you have had three very, very successful county finals.
You certainly have, Matt. Moving on to this weekend's action and the quarterfinals of the Limerick Senior Football Championship. Monaleen taking on St. Kieran's and Ballysteen and Ballylanders in the second game out in Kilmallock tomorrow afternoon, which of course we will be covering live on Sporting Limerick's YouTube channel. Matt, this is the business end of the championship with regards to the football, and promises to be two really, really tough close games tomorrow.
They're games that are very, very hard to call. Now, form-wise, in the first game, all the pointers would be in the direction of St. Kieran's, because they've had a smashing group phase of the competition. Four straight wins, narrow defeat to Newcastle West. They are in a very, very good place. Monaleen sneaked in, you could say, really right at the death with that win over Drum Broadford and combination of results elsewhere. And they've done that in the past. Monaleen just sneaked in, but once they played their get out of jail card and got onto the business into the competition, they flourished and went on and won the county. They no doubt will have ambitions to do the same, hoping that history will repeat itself. But I have a sense this time that as I said, St. Kieran's are having a very, very good season. They're a strong side. They have some very experienced operators in their team. I have a fancy for St. Kieran's in this one.
Moving on to the second game, Matt, how do you think that one's going to go?
Again, it's hard to call. I suppose experience would suggest Ballylanders. It's 4 years since Ballylanders last won the county, which was in 2014. There's still quite a few of those players around. You would have to say that Ballylanders are more accustomed to contesting the championship at this stage of the championship. Probably they would edge Ballysteen on that one. But I've been saying for quite a while I'm not surprised that Ballysteen are at this stage, but that they did make it hard for themselves. I think of all the clubs in the football championship that Ballysteen are the one club that didn't get the results maybe that their performances deserved, particularly in the early stage of this year's competition, and certainly last year's competition when they only survived in the relegation playoff for a finish. They will be very, very happy to be in the quarter final. They're going to give it one right good go. They're going to give it a right good go to on Saturday. But I have a fancy that the experience of Ballylanders and the way that Ballylanders dug out the result against Napiercik in the last round, they were trailing by 6 points with what, just over 10 minutes to go, and they dug out a very, very good result. It showed great resilience on their part. I have a fancy the Ballylanders will just share this one.
Yeah, Matt, of course, there is a relegation playoff as well.
There is. It's an all-city affair, and I suppose, you know, clubs are in a relegation final for a reason. Neither of these clubs won a game in the group stages. They both just picked up one single point from draws. Napiercik's only point was in the first game against Monlean when they played out a draw. And St. Patrick's point came in the fourth round in a draw with Ballysteen. These tend to be tense affairs. Napiercik have been in the top flight since being promoted in 2015. They've been there since 2015. Pats have been there since 2010. You know, these relegation finals, Raphael, they tend to take on a life of their own a bit. Judging on recent performances, and what we really, in these circumstances and with the record of these clubs throughout the group stages, the best guide you can go on is their most recent match. I saw Napiercik in their most recent match against Ballylanders. I saw what they brought to the table for 50 minutes. All right, they capitulated probably in the last 10 minutes. Whilst St. Pat's, they were beaten and more or less well beaten by struggling Ulla, who up to that point couldn't buy a win. So look, if you take that as a guideline, you would have to expect that Napiercik would probably just about survive. But that comes with a health warning. These games take on a life of their own.
Yeah, they certainly do. Matt, I suppose some other business in relation to football as well this week is Billy Lee staying on in charge for next year. And I, for one, I'm happy to see that he's staying on. I hope that, you know, some tough lessons in their league and championship campaign this year. But hoping that they can build on it this year, and good to see Billy staying at the helm.
Yeah, it's good to see Billy staying on. He's a totally dedicated football man, knows his football. Probably wasn't dealt a very good hand of cards for in the last two seasons with the level of turnover of players. Wasn't able to get continuity for various reasons. Players, and some of them very, very good players, unable to commit to the cause. Now he's putting together, he's finalising his backroom team, because Paddy Kissan is not returning as coach. And certainly Billy is in no doubt, and speaking to him in the week, he's no doubt about the level of the task that is facing him. And of course, you have the perennial problem of Limerick football and Limerick footballers sort of being in the shadow of the hurlers, and I suppose never more so in the last 45 years than now, because of the high profile of Limerick hurlers. But Billy will be burrowing away there in the background, trying to get the best squad he can together. He will be running a very tight rule, I presume, over the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals of the championship, trying to unearth talent. He will be hoping to get back talent that wasn't available to the panel for various reasons. Hope to get him back on board. There's no doubt he has a big job of work, and like he's gearing himself up for it, and we wish him luck, and certainly it's good that there is a level of continuity.
It certainly is, and I suppose I'm as somebody who has a soft spot for the football, I'm hoping that they can have a better year next year. And you know, Limerick needs the football team to be competitive as well.
It does, and now we have a footballing committee in place that are examining all the aspects of football in the county and trying to identify a blueprint for the development and the enhancement of Limerick football. We'll wait with interest to see what they will come up with, but they cannot come up with recommendations soon enough if they come up with recommendations that they have to be taken on board, because certainly call a spade, Limerick football is not in a good place at the moment, and we will be looking to the two games this weekend and the subsequent semi-finals and final to give us a couple of good games and to give the sport in the county a boost and restore it to where it belongs. Certainly it isn't capturing the imagination during the group stages of the Limerick public anyway. We've had paltry small crowds, but I suppose that goes with the territory if the county team isn't successful. But you would hope that Limerick, we pick up, certainly first of all pick up in the league. I think that would be very, very important. Just one win over Waterford and a draw with London from seven games was a very, very bad and disappointing return in 2018. So you would just certainly hope that the 2019 campaign would bring much better tidings for Limerick and much better results.
Yeah, yes, certainly would. Matt, of course, would be remiss of us not to mention JP McManus's donation to the clubs at the start of the week. Superb, really, wasn't it?
Absolutely superb, absolutely. An extraordinary gesture of generosity from a genuine, true GA man. And certainly the support he has given to Gaelic Games. And, of course, I suppose Gaelic Games is only just one of those things that JP McManus has supported and sponsored over the years. The amount of work and money that he puts into different projects and in charitable projects and projects from which an awful lot of people have benefited from and which goes unspoken about and unseen is extraordinary. I have to say I was very disappointed over the week in listening to the national airways and people being given a platform to castigate JP McManus and castigate the generosity, extraordinary act of generosity to every GAA club on this island. And this country is no way short of begrudgery, and I thought it was in very, very poor taste some of the comments that were made in respect to what was an extraordinary act of, as I said, of generosity, where everybody in GAA clubs across the island benefited.
Yeah, certainly was, Matt. I think that but that kind of is the extent of our program for this weekend. As we look ahead to, I suppose, our doubleheader. Again, we'll be bringing you live streaming commentary from the two games out in Kilmallock tomorrow. So the first throw-in, if I'm correct, is 2:45. Matt, is it?
That's it's 2:45 and 4:15, and both games in the event of finishing level will be subjected to extra time.
Yeah, and of course, Matt, some more positive reaction from the coverage during the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite a bit, and you saw yourself during the course of the coverage of the hurling game, the different parts of the world not just Ireland that were tuned in, and certainly this type of coverage fills a void, certainly for the diaspora. But we shouldn't forget also that it does the same for people at home. I had a call during the week from somebody that was unable to get to the match and was able to sit down and watch the games and was absolutely thrilled with the idea. And certainly this coverage is going down very, very, very well. And as you know from your records, Raphael, going right back to the county under 21 final between Doon and Kilmallock, and even going back to the Hearty coverage, that it is becoming more popular week on week, and it's certainly filling a huge void, and there's great credit to Sporting Limerick for coming up with the idea and doing it. And as I say, taking a quick look at it, you'd say it's ideal for the diaspora. It's ideal for an awful lot more. There are people that are housebound, that cannot get out, people that love the GA over the years and are unable to go anymore, and they can tune into these games now on their PCs or on their laptops, and it's just fantastic.